Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening, Monday through Friday, sometimes at 6:30, sometimes at 8, sometimes 9:30 or 11, whenever I can fit it in my schedule and have the and present what I wish to present in this show. Tonight I'm going to talk about catching men, or rather Jesus' statement that analogizing the catching of fish to the catching of men and what he means by it. He mentions it several times, and in this analogous statement, I'm going to try to understand what he's talking about and what he's saying. But let me begin by giving a little bit of background of myself about the show and about myself. You can understand where I'm coming from. This is a politically incorrect show. It is not a show of media fads, media falsehoods, lies, or political rhetoric or anything like that. We engage in critical thinking, an honest discernment, and attempt to get truth and facts. We are about honest thinking and to arrive at truthful conclusions and helpful conclusions to our society, which at this point is extremely intellectually confused and backward in many respects. Far from moving forward, we actually have been moving significantly backward. And one of the big problems is the failure of the society to have people read the great books, or the books I think are important. And without books, we are a society in darkness. We are a society in ignorance. We are a society in we're going down, down into a descent. As Edgar Allan Poe said in his short story, a descent into the maelstrom, which we may never emerge from because of the politics that governs our school system. The second thing is I'm a Christian, and this show is a Christian show, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and to all and to the ancient creeds of the Church, which state the essential Christian faith for me, the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian Creed, and I am interested in reading books and in gaining knowledge. That is my goal in life. I'm not interested in entertaining myself with pornography or anything like that. I'm interested in reading great books and being informed and having my consciousness and my soul raised. As Mortimer Adler said in his great, great book, How to Read a Book, the Bible is the foundation of Western thought. And he gave a list of books in that book, and that list is quite impressive, beginning with Homer and ending with P.S. Eliot, among others. Read that book. It's a great book, as is A Passage to India and Howards End by E.M. Foster. Great books that people don't know about anymore. Too bad. What people know about doesn't matter. What they should know about is more important than what they are given in this extremely confused system of thought. If I read a book, I'll read a Christian book, such as C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Hilaire Belloc, T.S. Eliot, Augustine, of course, the great epistles of Paul, the greatest religious thinker in the world that has ever lived, one of the great minds, one of the outstanding thinkers of all time. Next, I will read St. Augustine. I will read St. Thomas Aquinas, Luther, Calvin, or whoever I think will inform me of truth and honest discernment and raise me from the present darkness that our society is sinking into. Next, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, 5-6 Christian books, and two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, Essays, a book on the parables, as well as a book. Recently, I have published a book on the Psalms, which I think it's 390 pages. It's an exhaustive commentary and meditation on all 150 Psalms in the Hebrew Bible. And I have to say, as John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, that they are the manna of the church. Without the Psalms, they are the great thought provokers, called theology. To read the Psalms is to read inspiring, great Jewish Hebrew poetry, which comes across in any translation you can find. You can hear the voice of God and the voice of Christ in every psalm that you may read. And not to read the Psalms, and not to know the Psalms, is to be cheated and made a fool of by our society, which substitutes the newspapers such as the New York Post or the New York Times for the Psalms. Too bad. Because the reality is the Psalms are great thinking and great poetry and great religious thinking. They are tops, okay, and always will be. And I hope this book is helpful about them. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible, two books of blogs, of political, literary, and theological blogs that I have written, over 800 blogs, and they will be compiled into two books. And I'm writing I prepared a book on the miracles, as well as I intend to write a book on the book of Job, which is a wonderful exposition of Hellenic theology, thinking which made its way into the Bible. Don't believe Job was Jewish, but nevertheless, it's a great book, and to know it is to become a better person than you can possibly be. All of these books will raise you from your present backwardness in thinking. The world is not moving forward. Maybe it's moving in some ways, but in other ways it's moving backward, significantly backward, in thought and thinking. Next, I have a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. This one, the podcast show, over 4,300 people have visited it from China and Muslim countries. It has a Christian background. Nevertheless, many people from many societies visit these blogs, including in academia, the EU, and my website, and social media. Three of my articles have been published by the State Department and one by the United States Supreme Court. And hundreds of European libraries have purchased these in Urbanian Scientific Journal, and the other in Academicus, and Urbanian Scientific Journal. They are essays on the United States educational system and on the sexual orientation discrimination. I abhor discrimination in any form as a Christian. I detest it. I may disagree with people's behavior and lifestyle and see it as an act of sin, but I don't believe that our civil society should discriminate against anybody at all, of any kind, or even in the church, to tell you the truth. However, that's my assessment of what I've been doing these days. Tonight I will talk about what Jesus means by catching fish, in which he seems to analogize this activity to catching people and bringing them to the church. The passage is found in Luke 5, 1-11, and it says there that while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, this is the key to this particular event. Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down my nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So what we have here is Jesus' command to go into the lake. They had catched nothing, and there was a miracle, which he presided over, where the nets were filled with fish when before they had been able to get nothing. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. This is a miracle. And what are we going to say about this? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' name in the face of this divine event, this miracle. And he said, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." What he's saying is that this act of divine intervention is so fantastic, and in light of it, he is a sinful man. And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And this is the key to this passage in understanding what was going on when Jesus performed this miracle to bring fish to these fishermen, which had gotten nothing. And the response of Peter was, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man," because he realized that this was man was God. And that in light of that performance of that miracle, he sees his sinful nature. And Jesus said to Simon, who were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken at this miracle, and he said to him, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So what does Jesus mean here? You'll be catching men. Mainly that in this new religion that he is establishing, this new faith based on his sayings and his miracles, he's saying that from now on you won't be fishermen anymore. You will be in the task of catching men and bringing them to the church and to salvation. That's what he means by that. He's analogizing the catching of fish, and he says, from now on, as you caught these hundreds of fish in this miracle, you will be catching men. What he means by catching men, he will be bringing men to salvation, to Christ, and to the church. And then, more important, the action of Peter and the others in response to that statement, "Do not be afraid, from now on you will be catching men." They brought their boats to land, and they left everything and followed him. This is a fantastic response. They left everything and followed him. Everything. They brought their boats to land, left their work, left their families, left their friends, and followed him. So what do we have here? We have a situation where Jesus performs a miracle where fish had not been caught and the nets are full. And this is an analogous situation to the church bringing men to God and Christ. That is what Jesus is talking about here. And Simon, when he saw this huge catch and the boats were so filled they began to sink, his response is to understand his inadequacies as a person, that this man is God, that he is God incarnate. And he realizes, in light of this miracle, that he is a sinful man. And all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And this is the key. They were astonished at this catch of fish. They knew it was a miracle. And Peter immediately knew it was a miracle because he saw himself as inadequate, as deficient, or better put, as a sinful man. But then Jesus said, they were astonished, all the people there, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching of men." Catching means you will be bringing people to salvation and Christ. You will be convincing people, as Jesus convinced Peter to leave everything, you will be convincing people to come to God and Christ. And when they brought their boats to land, significantly, their response is so significant to this miracle of Jesus and what happened that they left everything and followed him, meaning they left their families, they left their friends, they left their world, they left their work, they left their money, and followed him. That's as much as I care to talk about today on this issue. It's found in Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. I think to understand this particular story, statement of events, and perhaps we can understand that Christ calls us to leave everything and follow him because he is miraculous in his actions. He is a miracle worker in every way. He is God. And when we see, as Simon Peter saw and knew that he was God, he saw his inadequacies in sin and left everything and followed him. In response to his statement, from now on you will be catching men. Catching means bringing men to the church, to the newly founded church. The church is always catching men all over the world, every minute, every second, despite what people say. The church has moved, maybe from the West to a certain extent, to places like China and the Middle East and other places. Nevertheless, the church is on the move, and Jesus is on the move, catching men and having people, leaving everything and following him. This will always happen, is happening, and will never cease happening. It is because the church presents Christ, who is the true God, and he's the as it says in the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. And Jesus says in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. He leaves no alternative to what to believe and what to think and how to live. He doesn't leave or give us a chance, any room, but to accept his God and divine nature as the agency of God to bring people to heaven and eternal life. That's what he's about in this story. I suggest you read Luke 5, 1-11. Look into it. Give it a lot of thought. Read it several times. Perhaps you can respond as Peter responded, to catch men and to leave everything and follow Christ. I don't think everybody can do that, but some have that ability to make that sacrifice. Those are the people who are remaking and rethinking the world and making it a new world and a better world. I've enjoyed this little talk, and I hope you've enjoyed it too. We'll be posting tomorrow for you to listen to. Good night.